Mankind will not have peace until it turns with trust to my mercy.
Merciful Jesus chose and formed a simple Polish nun, Sister Faustyna Kowalska, to convey the message of God's mercy addressed to the whole world. He told her, "You will prepare the world for my final coming." Our Lady added, "I gave the Saviour to the world. As for you, you have to speak to the world about his great mercy and prepare the world for his second coming." On the day of the canonization of Sister Faustina, the Holy Father John Paul II said, among other things, "Faustina's canonization has a special meaning. Through this canonization, I want today to convey the message of mercy to the new millennium. I pass them on to all people to learn more fully the true face of God and the true face of man. Faustina, I give God for our age. Give the Polish land to the whole church. Obtain for us the depth of knowing God's mercy. Help us to experience him personally and boldly, giving testimony about him among the people. Let your message of light and hope spread throughout the world. Let the sinners be converted. Let them quench disputes and hatred. Let the people and peoples be able to show active brotherhood." The diary of Saint Sister Faustina will contribute to getting to know and accept with confidence the messages of God's mercy. The personal experience of his unlimited graces, especially in difficult life situations. The message of God's mercy. Saint Faustina, the God-fearing Polish nun from the Congregation of the Mother of God's Mercy, was entrusted by Jesus the great mission of spreading the message of mercy to the world. It consists in recalling the biblical truth about the merciful love of God to man and the call to proclaim it with new strength through the witness of life, deeds of words, and prayer. An integral part of this message is devotion to the divine mercy, whose essence and condition of authentic practice is the care for trust in God and the attitude of mercy towards others. The privileged forms of this devotion with which Jesus bound great promises, provided they are practiced in a spirit of trust in God and mercy towards others, include the image of Christ with the signature, "Jesus, I trust in you," the Feast of Mercy on the first Sunday after Easter, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, prayer at the moment of Jesus' dying on the cross, called the Hour of Mercy, and spreading the worship of mercy. Jesus' words to Saint Sister Faustina.
"You are the secretary of my mercy. I have chosen you for that office in this life and the next life. Your task is to write down everything that I have made known to you about my mercy, for the benefit of those who by reading these things will be comforted in their souls and will have the courage to approach me. Today I'm sending you with my mercy to the people of the whole world. I do not want to punish aching mankind, but I desire to heal it, pressing it to my merciful heart. I use judgment when they themselves force me to do so. My hand is reluctant to take hold of the sword of justice. Before the day of justice, I am sending the day of mercy. I have opened my heart as a living fountain of mercy. Let all souls draw life from it. Let them approach this sea of mercy with great trust. Sinners will attain justification and the just will be confirmed in good. Conversion, as well as perseverance, is a grace of my mercy."
The Saviour wants God's mercy to be known throughout the world, so that every person who turns to him with confidence will discover his beauty and richness. Learning about the mystery of God's mercy raises and develops in us an attitude of trust in God and mercy towards others.
I desire trust from my creatures. Encourage souls to place great trust in my most unfathomable mercy. Let the weak, sinful soul have no fear to approach me, for even if it had more sins than there are grains of sand in the world, all will be drowned in the unmeasurable depths of my mercy. The graces of my mercy are drawn by means of one vessel only, and that is trust. My daughter, if I demand through you that people revere my mercy, you should be the first to distinguish yourself by this confidence in my mercy. I demand from you deeds of mercy, which are to arise out of love for me. You are to show mercy to your neighbours always and everywhere. You must not shrink from this or try to excuse or absolve yourself from it. I am giving you three ways of exercising mercy toward your neighbour. The first by deed, the second by word, the third by prayer. In these three degrees is contained the fullness of mercy, and it is an unquestionable proof of love for me.
The attitude of trust in God expressed in fulfilling his will revealed in the commandments, the word of God, duties of the state or the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and the practice of mercy towards others by deed, word or prayer belongs to the essence of devotion to the divine mercy. It's also a condition for fulfilling the promises that Jesus made with the new forms of the worship of God's mercy. The image of merciful Jesus. Sister received this vision of merciful Jesus on February 22, 1931, in Puok. In the evening in the cell, she saw the figure of Jesus in a stance glowing. He wore a white robe, a right hand raised to bless, and the left hand touched the tilt of the robe on his chest, from where two rays came out, red and pale white. There were traces of torture on his arms and legs.
Paint an image according to the pattern you see with the signature, Jesus, I trust in you. I desire that this image be venerated, first in your chapel and then throughout the world. I promise that the soul that will venerate this image will not perish. I also promise victory over its enemies already here on earth, especially at the hour of death. I want this image, which you will paint with a brush, to be solemnly blessed on the first Sunday after Easter. That Sunday is to be the Feast of Mercy. I desire that priests proclaim this great mercy of mine towards souls of sinners. I'm offering people a vessel with which they are to keep coming for graces to the Fountain of Mercy. That vessel is this image with the signature, Jesus, I trust in you. By means of this image, I shall be granting many graces to souls, so let every soul have access to it.
The painting shows the merciful love of God, which was most fully revealed in the Paschal mystery of Christ, in his passion, death, and resurrection. In the picture, we see Jesus resurrected in a white robe, but on his arms and legs, he bears traces of the wounds of the crucifixion. He also has a pierced heart, not visible in the image, but from it flows two large streams, the red and the pale white. Jesus asked about their meaning.
The two rays denote blood and water. The pale ray stands for the water, which makes souls righteous. The red ray stands for the blood, which is the life of souls.
Jesus purifies our souls through the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of penance. Water is also a biblical symbol of all the graces of the Holy Spirit. However, we feed on the Eucharist, which in the picture is symbolized by a red ray. On the one hand, the image tells us about God's great mercy, which has been fully revealed in the mystery of Christ. And on the other hand, reminds us of the duty of trusting God and active love towards others. The Feast of Divine Mercy. Jesus asked that the first Sunday after Easter would be a feast of mercy and that this feast would be celebrated all over the world. The greatest promise is connected with it, which concerns the complete forgiveness of guilt and punishment, that is, the grace that we receive only in the sacrament of baptism. In order to receive it, one must be after a well-confessed confession without attachment to any sin. Join the Holy Communion on the Feast of Mercy. One must fulfill the conditions of devotion to the Divine Mercy, that is, trusting God to fulfill His will and to show good to others through deed, word, or prayer.
The Divine Mercy Feast emerged from the very depths of my mercy, and it is confirmed in the vast depths of my tender mercies. Every soul believing and trusting in my mercy will obtain it. I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the fount of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day, all the divine floodgates through which all graces flow are opened. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. Look into the abyss of my mercy and give praise and glory to this mercy of mine. Do it in this way. Gather all sinners from the entire world and immerse them in the abyss of my mercy. I want to give myself to souls. I yearn for souls, my daughter. On the day of my feast, the Feast of Mercy, you will go through the whole world and bring fainting souls to the spring of my mercy. I shall heal and strengthen them. Say, my daughter, that the Feast of my mercy has issued forth from my very depths for the consolation of the whole world. No soul will be justified until it turns with confidence to my mercy, and this is why the first Sunday after Easter is to be the Feast of Mercy. On that day, priests are to tell everyone about my great and unfathomable mercy.
The Chaplet of Divine Mercy. God dictated the Divine Mercy Chaplet to Sister Faustina in Vilnius on September 13 and 14 in 1935. This is the second after Our Father, the prayer given by Jesus. The chaplet was bound by great promises of all favours and temporal benefits in accordance with the will of God, especially the grace of happy and a peaceful death. They can be asked not only by those who confidently say the chaplet, but also by the dying, at which others will pray with their words.
Say unceasingly the chaplet that I have taught you. Whoever will recite it will receive great mercy at the hour of death. Priests will recommend it to sinners as their last hope of salvation. Even if there were a sinner most hardened, if he were to recite this chaplet only once, he would receive grace from my infinite mercy. I desire that the whole world know my infinite mercy. I desire to grant unimaginable graces to those souls who trust in my mercy. Through the chaplet you will obtain everything, if what you ask for is compatible with my will. It pleases me to grant everything they ask of me by saying the chaplet. When hardened sinners say it, I will fill their souls with peace, and the hour of their death will be a happy one. Write this for the benefit of distressed souls. When a soul sees and realizes the gravity of its sins, when the whole abyss of the misery into which it immersed itself is displayed before its eyes, let it not despair. But with trust let it throw itself into the arms of my mercy, as a child into the arms of its beloved mother. No soul that has called upon my mercy has been disappointed or brought to shame. I delight particularly in a soul which has placed its trust in my goodness. Write that when they say this chaplet in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my Father and the dying person, not as the just judge, but as the merciful Saviour. At the hour of their death, I defend as my own glory every soul that will say this chaplet, or when others say it for a dying person, the indulgence is the same. When this chaplet is said by the bedside of a dying person, God's anger is placated. Unfathomable mercy envelops the soul.
Countless testimonies tell us how effective this prayer is, how great graces people receive by saying this prayer. In fact, we refer to it as the strongest argument. We offer the Heavenly Father the body and blood, the soul and deity of his beloved Son in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Hour of Mercy. In October 1937 in Krakow, the Lord Jesus instructed Sister Faustina to honour the moment of his dying on the cross by contemplating his passion and asking God's mercy for the whole world, especially for sinners. Prayer in the Hour of Mercy can be practiced every day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and should be directly directed to Jesus and in pleas refer to the value and merits of his painful passion.
At 3 o'clock, implore my mercy, especially for sinners, and if only for a brief moment, immerse yourself in my passion, particularly in my abandonment at the moment of agony. This is the hour of great mercy for the whole world. I will allow you to enter into my mortal sorrow. In this hour, I will refuse nothing to the soul that makes a request of me in virtue of my passion. I desire that you know more profoundly the love that burns in my heart for souls, and you will understand this when you meditate upon my passion. Call upon my mercy on behalf of sinners. I desire their salvation. On the cross, the fountain of my mercy was opened wide by the lance for all souls. No one have I excluded. That as often as you hear the clock strike the third hour, immerse yourself completely in my mercy, adoring and glorifying it. Invoke its omnipotence for the whole world. In this hour, you can obtain everything for yourself and for others for the asking. It was the hour of grace for the whole world. Mercy triumphed over justice. Try your best to make the stations of the cross in this hour, provided that your duties permit it. And if you are not able to make the stations of the cross, then at least step into the chapel for a moment and adore the blessed in the Blessed Sacrament, my heart, which is full of mercy. And you should be unable to step into the chapel. Immerse yourself in prayer there where you happen to be, if only for a very brief instant. I claim veneration for my mercy from every creature.
Tell the whole world. Jesus invites us to be apostles of his mercy and encourages us to spread the worship of God's mercy throughout the world.
Tell the world about my mercy and my love. Do whatever is within your power to spread devotion to my mercy. I will make up for what you lack. Tell aching mankind to snuggle close to my merciful heart, and I will fill it with peace. When a soul approaches me with trust, I fill it with such an abundance of graces that it cannot contain them within itself, but radiates them to other souls. Write, tell souls about this great mercy of mine, because the awful day, the day of my justice, is near. Souls who spread the honour of my mercy, I shield through their entire lives as a tender mother her infant, and at the hour of death, I will not be a judge for them, but the merciful Saviour. Tell my priests that hardened sinners will repent on hearing their words when they speak about my unfathomable mercy, about the compassion I have for them in my heart. To priests who proclaim and extol my mercy, I will give wondrous power. I will anoint their words and touch the hearts of those to whom they will speak.
These promises speak about the importance of spreading the worship of mercy, since Jesus promises maternal protection in life and in the moment of death to all who undertake this task. Therefore, the celebration of the worship of mercy is one of the forms of the divine mercy devotion, alongside the image of mercy, the feast of divine mercy, the chaplet, and hours of mercy. Because this practice has been endowed with the promise of Jesus that everyone can use. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.